I'm so thankful for every time I get to stand in this pulpit, and I view it as a privilege, and very excited just to share with you something simple this afternoon. But as simple as the truth is from the text we'll be going to, I think it should change the way that we live this afternoon. And so I'll invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 this afternoon. We're just going to stick with one verse for this afternoon and really dig down into it, make sure we understand it, make sure it has been applied to our lives, and really want to walk away with just one clear focus and emphasis based on this text. I've actually preached this message before recently. The teens will find it very familiar this summer for our Teen Time ministry. But I was sharing with them outside several messages from this passage, Ephesians chapter 1. And we looked at verses 3 through 14, which if you've studied this passage before, you already know that this is a special passage. This is a unique passage in that Paul begins this epistle to the church at Ephesus with a lengthy sentence starting from verse 3 all the way to verse 14. He doesn't put the period, at least in the original, and he's expounding truth about the gospel. I titled our series for the summer with the teens, God's Gospel Gifts, because really what Paul does in this passage is just expounds upon the many gifts that have come to us as believers in Jesus Christ, and they're gifts that are transmitted to us through the gospel. They come from God, and we are the recipients of these blessings, these gifts. And so each week we were dealing with a different gift from this passage, and we don't have time to go through the entire text. We're just going to be looking at the introduction to this sentence, the introduction to these many gifts that were given. And since we're putting an emphasis this service on teens being involved, I'm going to put them on the spot a little bit this afternoon. They didn't know I was going to do this. But I want some of the teens just really quickly to share one thing that stood out to you from this passage that you learned about God's gospel gifts. It can be one of the gifts that we talked about. It can be just a part of one of the verses that stood out to you. But I want several teens, nice and loud and clear for everyone to hear. What did we learn this summer from this passage? And I know I'm going out on a limb here, asking them what they learned. But I do this in Sunday school all the time, and I just wait till they answer, all right? So any of the teens, off the top of your head, what did we learn from this passage? What stood out to you about God's gospel gifts from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14? Somebody get us started, and then it'll snowball from there. Anybody at all? Say what? It's free. They're gifts, right? So these are things that we didn't earn, right? We're going to get into that specifically even in verse 3, that, yeah, these are blessings that come from God as a gift. We don't earn them. They're free. What else? Yes, Anthony, thank you. We are adopted into the family of God. That comes immediately after verse 3. One of the gifts that God has given us is spiritual adoption into His own family. And we use terminology like, I'm adopted, or into the family of God, or I'm a child of God. God is my Father. We pray to Him as our Father. But really understanding, what does that mean for me to have a relationship with God as my Father? What did it take for Him to make me His child? And we explored some of those truths about adoption. What else did we cover? Ben? We are redeemed. Yeah, after Paul talks about being chosen and adopted, he talks about being redeemed and what that means to be bought or purchased out of the slave market of sin. What else? Blake? Yes, an inheritance. That was another gift that came on later in the passage. Really a spiritual inheritance. I don't know how much experience anybody in the room has had with inheritance. I don't know if the teens did either, but I shared with them a story about how growing up, I was about in the seventh grade, and my great-grandfather passed away. And not too long after learning that news, my mom sat down and shared with me that he had left behind an inheritance for each of his great-grandchildren. And that came to me in the form of $1,000, which at the time was the biggest inheritance I could imagine in my mind. But comparing that to the spiritual inheritance that God has in store for us, it's incomparable. And to think what is awaiting for us, not only that we get to enjoy now, but in eternity and glory. Inheritance was one of them. What was another one? There was maybe one more. It was more obscure. Remember, we talked about the revelation of His will, right? And so that God has not only made us a family member, He's not only redeemed us, but He has brought us into the knowledge of His will, not only for us personally, but for all things. And I have the teens share all that just for your sake, that we're talking about God's gospel gifts in this passage, the many facets of the gospel and those gifts and blessings that come to us. And if I were to sum up this passage in one sentence, I shared this with the teens, I'll share it with you. I would say this, that in this passage we learn that God blesses us with unlimited and unmerited gifts through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We could unpack a little bit about what that sentence means, but the idea that God has chosen to give us things, and those gifts, they are unlimited in nature. We really can't even comprehend the limits of what God has blessed us with as believers in Christ. But in addition to them being unlimited, they are also unmerited. And as Jenna reminded us, it is not something that we work for. It's not that we deserve these gifts. They come to us completely on the merits of Christ. And so those are some of the things that we talked about over the summer. And I share all that to give you some context of what I want to talk about from Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3. You know, after we talk about all these gifts, these blessings that God has given to us through the gospel, what should be our response? And it's interesting, as Paul writes this sentence, you would maybe think, if I was writing the sentence, that he would write all the things that we have given and then write the response at the bottom. Here's what you should do in response to all of these blessings of the gospel. But Paul actually starts this entire sentence on God's gospel gifts by telling us what our response should be ahead of time. How should we respond to these gifts that God has given us through the gospel? Well, if you look at verse 3 with me, Paul makes it very clear right off the bat. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but when we read that phrase, maybe it's because we've heard it times and times again in the King James, that text and version that we read. But sometimes a phrase like that could come across as being kind of just a trite saying, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it really mean? What are we communicating when we say a phrase like that? As I was thinking about what that text means and how we can overlook its meaning at times, I was drawn to certain hymns that we sing. I don't know if you've ever been singing a certain hymn and the words are so familiar to you that all of a sudden one Sunday it just hits you in a way that I've been singing this song since I was, you know, for years and years. And now it's just sinking in what the truth is that I'm actually communicating as I sing this song. You know, there's a very familiar hymn, no doubt many of us, probably all of us in the room know it. Title is "Blessed Be the Name." All praise to him who lives above in majesty supreme, who gave himself for man to die that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we sing that, right? And we repeat that phrase on the chorus. But I wonder if when we sing hymns like that, sometimes it's just empty, trite sayings. I mean, yes, we're singing blessed be the name, but are we truly blessing the name of God because of what we just sang in that verse? That he gave himself for man to die that he might man redeem. Does that truth grip us to the point that we understand what it means when we say blessed be the name? You know, we read this phrase, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe it just seems like kind of a throwout phrase that Paul puts at the beginning of his sentence. It's just kind of the pastoral thing to do or the apostle kind of like thing to do. No, Paul's communicating to us a response that we should have to everything else that he's going to write in this sentence. And when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt to the original audience who was familiar with maybe the Old Testament, the idea of blessing God wasn't a foreign concept to them. You know, there's several instances in the Old Testament that we find this phrase, bless the Lord or blessed be God. I want to bring us just to a couple. You don't have to turn there because they're very familiar. But I want these to help us understand what does it mean? What is this response supposed to look like when we're commanded or told here to bless the Lord? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Psalm 103, verse 1, the psalmist writes this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And I want to bring emphasis to one part of that verse. The psalmist is expressing his own desire to bless the Lord, but he makes a statement. He says, "And all that is within me, bless his holy name." You know, when I think of blessing the Lord, I think a synonym that comes to mind for most of us is praising the Lord, right? And when we think of praising the Lord, we fairly limit that a lot of times in our thoughts just to what we say about God. Maybe even just our singing towards God. And you know what? In the psalm that we just read, the psalmist wasn't so much focused on things that he said. It was all that was within him. Literally, his full being, everything he thought, everything he said, everything he did was geared towards blessing the Lord. It's an all-encompassing response to the mercies and the grace of God. Like I said, we tend to think of praising God or blessing God as being something that we verbalize. And so when we come here on Sundays, it's easy for us to bless the Lord, right? Because we're in an environment where we are prompted to bless and to praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but listening to, let's say, the choir sing this morning, it was near impossible if you were engaged and geared into what was going on to not respond in at least your heart in blessing and praising God, and maybe even with an amen and praise the Lord verbally expressed. It's easy to praise the Lord when we are gathered together publicly, especially on Sundays. But you know what? It's not as easy to praise or bless the Lord on Mondays, is it? It's not as on the tip of our tongue when we're getting in the car driving to work every day of the week. Or when we're at home struggling with a task, something that's broken. Or when we're just maybe dealing with family members, with children, and there's some strife or maybe some chaos in the home. It's not as easy when it's not there just being prompted of us to bless and to praise the Lord. But according to this psalmist in Psalm 103, we are to bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let me bring one more psalm to our attention. Psalm 34 in verse 1, the psalmist writes, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So this idea of blessing God is not just something that we do on Sunday. It's not just something that we do necessarily even with just our lips. It's with all that was within us, our actions, our thoughts, our words. And it's to be done continually. It's to be done at all times, according to this psalmist. So when Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," this is to be our response. We could put it this way. Maybe Paul's saying something like this: "May wholehearted and continual praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Maybe that brings a little bit more action into the discussion of what it means to bless God. What should be our response? Well, it should be a response of praise. It should come from not only our lips, it should come from our heart. It should be a part of our life in every aspect of our life, and it should be present at all times. It's wholehearted and continual praise to God with our lives. So that's the response that we are to have to God's gospel gifts. And the question that we need to ask this morning and that Paul answers in this verse or this afternoon is the question, why? Why are we to wholeheartedly and continually bless or praise the Lord? Well, I think our text, like I said, answers that. If you'll look at verse 3 again, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then it says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You know, several follow-up questions are in order from that phrase. First of all, who hath blessed us? Who's the one giving the blessings? And then second of all, what kind of blessings are these? And then maybe finally, how do we come by these blessings? It's easy to say that God has blessed us, but what does that look like in real concrete ways? And I think Paul answers that question really in three ways, and I'm just going to draw our attention to three points from this verse. And first of all, I want us to observe the source of our spiritual blessings. the source of our spiritual blessings. And according to verse 3, obviously, God is the source of our spiritual blessings. Now, we could pause there. We could just stop and move on to our next point. Because it seems fairly straightforward. Yes, God blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Good. God is the source of our gifts. But I want us to stop. I want us to pause and ask a question. Why is it important to acknowledge God as the source or the giver of our blessings? You know, it seems like kind of just a obvious thing to us. But why is it important? You know, just recently, this last week, I was watching, actually, there was a documentary that premiered recently, just in the season of September 11th coming up. And it was a documentary on the Freedom Tower, or the One World Trade Center, that was erected in place of the fallen Twin Towers there in New York City, lower Manhattan. It was an interesting documentary, but at one point in the documentary, they were showing a clip from when that building, the last piece of concrete, was raised to the top of that structure, and it was officially complete. And as that piece was being raised by that crane, there were crowds, masses of people gathered. And what was being sung as a flag flew in the wind was "God Bless America." And I don't know why that caught my attention on the video. That here it is in lower Manhattan, a crowd of people gathered, really focusing and listening to the lyrics as they're sung, "God Bless America." And I couldn't help but think and ask the question, do these people who are gathered down there know who God is? They maybe are hearing and agreeing with that song that, yeah, God has blessed America, but what does that look like? What's the form that God's blessings take? Who even is God, the giver of these gifts? You see, we live in a culture where maybe we do have people that agree that they are blessed, but really not really sure who to be thankful for. You know, I've heard many and many athletes, and probably you've heard the same, after a game, after they win a championship, after they win a race, whatever it is, and they're interviewed. And what is the answer you hear over and over again from these athletes? Well, it's the answer, well, I am extremely blessed. I've just been very blessed to have the things that I have, and I'm blessed to be able to play the sport I get to play, and I'm just really blessed with the talents that I have. And we hear that term blessed thrown around a lot in athletics. And when these athletes are recognizing that they have been blessed in a certain way. But sometimes, I don't know about you, when I watch those interviews, I wonder, do they really realize where those blessings are coming from? What is the source of that blessing that they are mentioning and referring to? You know, maybe even as Christians, we can kind of tritely and half-heartedly throw around the phrase that I've just been very blessed by God, without really thinking about the fact that God has intentionally gifted us or blessed us with certain things. Why is it important to acknowledge God as the source or the giver of spiritual blessings? Well, you know, I'll use an illustration to maybe help us understand this. Could you imagine if, and this possibly very well could happen, that I showed up on one Sunday and I had a new tie on. I haven't bought a new tie in a very long time. I have way too many ties. I don't need any more ties. But let's say that I were, and somebody were to say, "Hey, nice tie. I noticed that's a new tie. It looks nice on you." And let's imagine that it was a tie that my wife had bought for me for my birthday just a couple days ago. And, you know, maybe they asked me, "Hey, where'd you get that?" And, you know, I were to kind of answer, "Oh, well, it came from, you know, and I, you know, throw out the store that I think it came from." And, you know, I kind of talk about, yeah, I don't really buy a whole lot of ties, but, you know, every now and then, if, you know, I need a new tie, I take the money that I've earned, you know, and I go buy that tie. And what if I were to have that conversation without saying anything about the fact that my wife gave it to me as a gift? And let's say even my wife was standing there in the conversation. Do you think she'd be expecting me at some point to say, "Hey, yeah, thanks for the compliment. My wife picked this tie out for me"? You know, that's a really silly illustration, but I think there's a lot of times that we try to take credit for the things that have been gifted to us, that have been blessed to us, as if we kind of worked for them. And we don't really actually think about the source of where it came from and the thought that went into it and the sacrifice that was made to provide it for you. And maybe when it comes to our spiritual blessings, even we as Christians can fail to really grasp what it means that God is the source of these gifts and these blessings in our life. You see, as Americans, we tend to be fairly self-sufficient people. We work for what we have, right? And we're kind of proud about we have the things that we have because we have put in the work and we've put in the effort. And those who don't put in the effort, well, they're not going to have it, right? That's kind of our mindset. But when it comes to spiritual blessings and gifts that we have, you know, it's very important to understand that we are not blessed people because we work really hard at it. Spiritually speaking, we don't have what we have because we've earned it. You see, we are not blessed because of all the sacrifices that we have made or the efforts that we have put into it. Really, in a spiritual sense, we are blessed because of the sacrifice that God has made and the effort that He has made on our behalf. And so it's important for us to, first of all, recognize the source of spiritual blessings. Paul tells us it's blessed be God, not blessed be you for working for these things or for achieving this or for putting in all the effort. No, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, why? Because He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. First of all, the source of our spiritual blessings, that's God. But second of all, notice with me the scope of our spiritual blessings. What does this involve? What does it encompass? What does it include? What are some of the particulars? We've used this term blessing over and over again so far. What are we talking about exactly? You know, I think this is another area where often we kind of just use the term blessings and kind of use it over and over again to really, it doesn't mean a whole lot. What do we refer to? What are we referring to when we use the term spiritual blessings or gifts from God? You know, I'd like us to stop in this service and think about, I already mentioned to him, blessed be the name, that sometimes maybe we can just sing absentmindedly. Another song that no doubt we've all known or sung at times is Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. You know, it's funny in that verse, in that song, we sing that chorus, and yet maybe as we're singing it, we're not counting our blessings. We really don't have anything in our mind that we are thankful for or that we are blessing or praising God for. And sometimes without thinking, we can just absentmindedly let out these songs, these words out of our mouth that really don't mean anything. I want us to stop this afternoon as we talk about the scope of our spiritual blessings in Christ. I want us to think about some real blessings that Christ has given us. The teens listed several from this passage that we're going to reference in just a moment. But just off the top of your head, and you can raise your hand, what are some of the blessings that God has given us? What are some of the gifts that we have as believers in Jesus Christ? Any at all? Salvation itself, yes. What other gifts? The scriptures, yes. God has blessed us with revelation directly from Him. What else? Jesus Christ, He gave actually Himself. That's an amazing gift. He sent Him to earth. What else? The Holy Spirit. That comes actually in this passage at the end. That was one the teens didn't list. Maybe one or two more. The church. Yes, God has gifted us, and particularly us, with an amazing body of believers. We should be thankful, praising God for our church. Isaiah, did I see a hand back there? The Bible, yes. One of the most precious gifts we have came in the form of a book that we hold in our hands. And we could list more and more, but when it comes to the blessings, the scope of our spiritual blessings, I want us to look at our text one more time. Paul tells us to bless God. Remember, that's praising Him wholeheartedly and continually because He is the source of all spiritual blessings. He's blessed us. And then he says this, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now we need to piece that apart a little bit. I want to focus first of all on that word all. You know, Paul didn't just throw that word in and really not mean anything by it. When Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, what does he mean? Well, he means every one of them, right? So I think it would be safe to conclude that there is not a spiritual blessing that God is withholding from us or that he will withhold from us. He has given us everything in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And when we think about the comparison between physical gifts and spiritual gifts, because as we're going to talk about in a minute, Paul's really focusing on the spiritual side of things here. There are many things in this world, physically speaking, materially speaking, that we do not possess, right? Maybe we have a desire to possess them. And even as we were reminded from Pastor's message this morning, we got to be careful where we set our affections and what's our treasure, because that's where our heart is. But in the material, physical sense, none of us can say we have it all. We have every physical blessing that this earth has to offer. But you know what each and every one of us can say? That spiritually speaking, God has given us everything. He's given us all spiritual blessings. And that's the second part. What are these spiritual blessings he's talking about? You know, I think Paul's really making an emphasis in this passage, not on material blessings that God gives to us, although God does provide for our physical needs. We could be counting our blessing for the many physical things that God has given to us, but specifically in this passage, Paul's concern is on the spiritual gifts, the spiritual treasures, as Pastor reminded us this morning, that are ours and that we should be striving for. The teens helped us remember some of these from the rest of the passage, but I want to bring them back to our attention. What are some of the spiritual gifts, the scope of these gifts that Paul has in mind? Remember, our response is supposed to be praise, continual and wholehearted praise to God because he's given us these gifts. But what are they? Well, if you look a little bit further in the passage, let's just start in verse 4. We're supposed to praise him according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That is an amazing thought to grapple with. That we as believers in Christ were chosen, set apart, we were put and placed in Christ before the world was even formed. That God in eternity past has chosen us, according to verse 5, he chose us beforehand unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. You know, I used an illustration with the teens this summer that hopefully it helped me get a better understanding of this adoption, being chosen before the foundation of the world to be adopted. You know, when we think about earthly adoption and physical parents adopting a physical child, a lot of times we think of international adoption. And I don't know if you've ever met those who have adopted internationally. While Jill and I were in South Carolina, there was a couple in our church who adopted two children from China. And just observing their experience, I think, shed some light on this concept of being adopted into the spiritual family of God. You know, it's common for families to be in prayer and to be thinking about and praying towards adopting a child far before they ever meet that child. You know, this couple that we knew had their mind set on adopting a child, not only just any child, but a child from China. Eventually, they were given a specific name of the child, but before they had even made a trip to meet this child, they had purposed in their mind that they were going to adopt that child. And as the process unfolded, they then went and visited, and they met this child, and eventually then adopted them, brought them back to their home in the States. But I think that's a great picture, physically, of spiritually what God has done for each and every one of us as his spiritual children. He has chosen us, set his mind on us, before we were even thought of. Before the foundation of the world, it says, we had been chosen by our Father. But it goes on from there. If you look at verse 7, Another blessing that we have, not only being chosen and adopted into the family of God, but according to verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we've been adopted, but we've also been redeemed. I was sharing with the teens this summer that after we consider this topic of being adopted into the family of God, we better not get the picture that we were adopted because we deserved to be adopted. You know, many times in earthly adoptions, we have compassion on those in orphanages, in third world countries or in international situations without parents. And we almost think from a human standpoint that there is some level of deserving that adoption, that that child deserves to have a home and deserves to have parents that love them. But you know, that's not really the case for us as God's children. Because in order to be redeemed, that means that we need to be purchased. And as other scripture tells us, we have been purchased out of the slave market of sin. And so as undeserving as we were rebels, we were sinners, we were convicts. Yet Christ went to that orphanage and chose us to be his children. And what a blessing that is, to know that, yes, we did not deserve to be welcomed into the family of God. Maybe to put it in more contemporary terms, this would be like going to the juvenile detention center and adopting a child who has been convicted of a crime against you personally. That gives us a little even better picture of what it meant for God not only to redeem us and to forgive us, and to release us, but to make us his own child. But not only that, we find in verse 9 another blessing. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. You know, as you use the illustration of a family and being adopted into a family, there are certain privileges and rights that family members have that people who are outside the family don't have, right? So as a child belonging to a certain family, you have rights and privileges that other people don't have. You get to enjoy and experience certain things. I asked some of the teens this, how many of them like to be in the know about what's going on in the family? If there's a vacation being planned, or if there's, you know, maybe something coming up, maybe you have some kids who just have to know everything that's going on. And they're asking, you know, what's coming next? When are we doing this? You know what? As we have children here on earth and we allow them to know some of our plans and some of our goals and some of our experiences that we will have, same thing in our spiritual family. God has adopted us, welcomed us into his family, and he has revealed to us the mystery of his will. And you know, that is all, first of all, a privilege that we would be brought into the counsel of God and made known why the world was created and why we have been saved and what's God's purposes in the future. But not only do we have a privilege, we've been called to participate in God's plan. We've been redeemed, adopted. We've been made known his will so that we can be a part of it. And on into the future, not only in the past have we been redeemed and adopted, presently we are being brought into the counsel of his will. But what about future blessings? Well, if you look a little bit further in the passage, verse 11, Paul tells us that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to the counsel of his will. Somebody mentioned that inheritance already. And you know what? That inheritance is something that we presently enjoy, but in the future we will enjoy on an even greater level. We will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the way Jesus put it when he was talking about how in the future times God would set apart on his right hand, on his left, and he would say to those on his right, come, inherit the kingdom of God. That is what awaits for us, a perfect existence under the rule and the reign of Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. And then finally, as Paul comes to the end of this sentence, in verse 13, says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So one final gift that Paul highlights in this verse, not only have we been adopted and redeemed and revealed his will, and we have an inheritance waiting for us, but what else could God give us more spiritually speaking? Well, he's given us his Holy Spirit. I'll put it this way. He's given us himself. What greater gift could God give us and bless us than his own Holy Spirit living and indwelling us as believers in Jesus Christ? You see, these are the blessings of God. This is the scope of our spiritual blessings. Paul says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, or in other words, in the realm of spiritual possessions. You know, like I said, in the realm of physical possessions, there are things that we will never dream about having. But in the realm of spiritual possessions, we have it all. And even on top of that, if we don't believe that, if that's not really grasping us, think about that final gift. He's given us himself. Not only Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, but his Holy Spirit to live within us. And if that doesn't cause us to bless the Lord and to praise him wholeheartedly and continually, then I don't know what will. You know, seemingly we can get so excited about the physical blessings that we have on this earth, but I wonder sometimes if we fail to acknowledge these spiritual blessings that God has given to us. Maybe they sound a little bit just ho-hum to us. Yeah, I've been adopted. I'm a child of God. Yeah, I've been redeemed. I know what that means, but it just doesn't really get me excited anymore. Yeah, I know that the Holy Spirit indwells me, but I struggle to picture that and what that means and how that works. But what Paul's reminding us about in this whole passage, and specifically in verse 3, is that God has blessed us immensely with unlimited gifts. And what should be our response? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise, wholehearted praise, continual praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about the source of our spiritual blessings, the scope of our spiritual blessings. And then one last question that we might have, and that is this: how did we come about these blessings? How were these communicated to us? Why did we deserve these? You know, the answer is really we don't deserve them. But the answer is found in our third point, and I'll put it this way. It's the sharer of our spiritual blessings. I know it's an odd term, the sharer, but the point is this: who shares all of these blessings with us? Well, the answer would be at the end of verse 3, that we have all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have them in Christ. In other words, in our connection, in our relationship with Christ. You see, because we have been united with Christ, all manner of spiritual blessings flow to our account. They don't come to us on our own merit. They come to us on the merit of Christ. You know, I used an illustration with the teens. I'll share it tonight. I told the teens, and this was at the very beginning of the summer, I want them to imagine that at the start of this school year here, a new kid has come to school, and they can tell right off the bat that this child, this kid, comes from a really well-off family. Maybe it's just the way he dresses, maybe what you've heard about him. But you know that his dad is really, really rich. He's got a really, really nice home. I said, imagine that this family has a home that's 10 times the size of your house. They've got indoor soccer fields in the basement. That'd be awesome, right, teens? They got a big screen TV. I mean, we're talking like, not like 50 inches. We're talking about like, you know, 50-foot TV somehow in the basement of their house. I mean, they just got everything from the standpoint of physical possessions. And let's say that this family goes on vacation probably like twice, three times a year. And we're not talking about small vacations. They go and they visit every island in the Caribbean on one vacation. And then they go, you know, halfway across the world to some place. And it just seems that this kid's got everything. He has all the possessions the world has to offer. He has all the experiences that the world has to offer. And let's say as you get to know this kid starts to like you. He becomes your friend. That'd be a good friend to have, right? And let's say that as you get to know this kid better at school, eventually one day this dad comes to you, and I was telling this to the teens, and says, hey, I want you to pretty much be my adopted son. How would that be? I think they jump at that opportunity, right? And let's say the dad says, hey, you know, I kind of want to adopt, you know, you become my son, and I really want to treat you just like I treat my son. I want you to be able to come over whenever you want. You can play on the soccer fields. You can watch the big screen TV. You can, you know, basically, if you need any new clothes, I'll buy it for you. If you want to come on vacation with us, you can do that. You know, imagine that that was the setup that you had, and you had to experience all those possessions, all those experiences, because of your friendship with that kid at school. You know, that's a crazy illustration, but I think maybe in some small way it helps us understand exactly what it means to be in Christ, to have a relationship with Christ. Because God has blessed us through Christ with all manner of spiritual blessings. We've listed a number of them. There are an unlimited amount more that we could talk about. But you know what? All these blessings have come to us. Why? Not because we earned them. Not because we deserved them. But they've come to us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the one who shares the spiritual blessings with us. And you know what? On top of the blessings that we have, just the fact that we have been placed in union with Christ, what response should that bring us to? Shouldn't that, more than any of these things, cause us to bless God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to shower Him with praise in our life, in our heart, in our words, in our lives? You see, we read this verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And we see the source of our spiritual blessings. Most of us, we recognize that we are blessed people. If you were here last week for Pastor's message, as we wrapped up our series on stewardship, he shared a statistic about those who make a certain amount of money being in the top 1% of all people who make money in the world. We are truly blessed people. But not only in a physical sense, a material sense, we are extremely blessed spiritually. And I wonder if sometimes we just take those things for granted. In the lingo of being a child of God, being redeemed, having our sins forgiven, having an inheritance, being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, I wonder if sometimes those things don't move us to praise on a daily basis. Yeah, they might move us to praise on Sundays while we're here, but what about every other day of the week? Do we live our lives wholeheartedly and continually blessing God, praising Him as the source of our spiritual blessings? We talked about the scope of our spiritual blessings. Maybe we are a little bit narrow in our mindset of what is the scope of what we have in Christ. You know, I'd encourage you to take a study of this passage, verses 3 through 14 in Ephesians. Really, you could go through all of Ephesians, and Paul just expounds upon the riches of the glory and the grace of our God, the riches of the gospel. And maybe it would open your eyes to see just how much we have from God in the form of spiritual blessings. And then to realize that all these things come to us through our relationship with Christ. As I mentioned, we tend to be very self-sufficient people. And maybe even to an extent, we can struggle with being self-righteous people. People who really kind of feel like, even in the world of spiritual blessings, somehow we have merited these spiritual blessings. Maybe a lapse in our tendency to think it's kind of that I deserve to be adopted into the family of God, or I deserve to be redeemed, or I deserve to be a part of that family. I deserve some things in the future and when I arrive in heaven because I've worked for them, because I've tried to live my life according to this book, because I've tried to do things. And really what we need to understand is all of those blessings are not ours because of our sacrifices. they are all ours because of the sacrifice of another. And that is of Jesus Christ. And because we are in union with Christ, all these blessings flow to our account. Have you blessed the Lord recently? Have you been wholeheartedly and continually praising Him for these kinds of spiritual gifts? You know, if not, then this is a new week. And maybe throughout this week, it would be that you need to start your day rehearsing the spiritual blessings of God. Go into a passage like this. Maybe go into Psalm 103, which I referenced. And in there, that passage, the psalmist just lays out many of the blessings that God has given to him. And maybe just a fresh reminder each day about God's gospel gifts will awaken in us an attitude and a response of praise and worship, wholeheartedly, continually blessing God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us, and the scope of His blessings are unlimited. And He's blessed us in Christ, and these blessings are unmerited, so we must praise Him for them. Let's bow in prayer as we close this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we've looked at just one verse this afternoon. And Lord, it has drawn our thoughts to the gospel. Lord, it's drawn our thoughts to many truths that are so familiar to us, Lord. I fear that they've lost their glory, Lord. They've lost their ability to move our hearts to praise and to worship. And so, Father, I pray that You would open our eyes once again to see the source of our spiritual blessings. Lord, help us never to take these blessings, these gifts for granted, as if somehow we deserved them. Lord, help us to see You as the giver of every good and perfect gift. Lord, help us to reference You in all that we do. Lord, when we share testimonies, when we share answers to prayer, when we share just what You're doing in our lives with other people, may we continually be pointing them to You as the source of those gifts. Lord, help us to dwell in the gospel on a daily basis. And even this week, Lord, would You give us gospel reminders all along the way, so that each day, every moment of the day, we would be glorying in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit and the gift that He is in our hearts. And Father, I pray that this week we would truly have a response of blessing Your name, praising Your name in all that we are and all the time. May we be people who are praising You for Your gospel gifts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.